Holla if you hear me. Acts 26, 24 through 28. Often in life when we are going through things, we begin to personalize our trials and tribulations as though they have never happened to anyone else. Sometimes when we begin to go through things, it's so easy for us to be distracted and to become angry because we think that nobody feels what we're going through. I came today to say to someone that where you are, you're not the first person to go through that. But in the midst of going through something, when we begin to personalize things, we begin to wonder, can anybody hear me? I am crying. I am telling you my problems. Can you hear what I'm saying? And it seems sometimes the louder you cry, the more you cry, the more you begin to go through something, it seems like people then turn their backs on you and walk away. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to personalize it and you'll think that it's really about you. What you're going through really isn't about you. What you're going through is about God receiving His glory. However, God is a spirit. And so God on this earth doesn't show Himself in a spirit. He shows Himself through us. And so because God is a spirit, He says, now they that worship me, you must do it in spirit and in truth. Now the truth is the Word of God, and the Spirit is the manifestation of the Word. For the Bible declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was. Now because the Word was God, God needed to manifest it. And so when God began to manifest it, what God did is that I need to show myself. I need someone who is crazy enough, someone who is insane enough to allow my Shekinah glory to be seen in your life. Now, Shekinah glory is the glory of God, where you see God in man on earth because of the works of man. Now, works doesn't save you, but work does put a stamp of approval that you've been saved. You can't say that I'm saved and no one ever sees your work. And so God will always put your work on display. He'll always test your work. So for God to test your work, we must first understand the difference between test and temptation. At the core, temptation is evilness. God cannot tempt you because only Satan will tempt you. He will tempt you because it's evil to always do bad. God will always test you. The problem with being tested is that test is a setup to understand that when the test comes, the teacher has already covered the material for you to pass the test. And so when God begins to allow you to go through something, you need to know, I've already been through that. I've already prepared myself so that I can overcome this thing. So when the test of life comes, Acts 26, 24 through 28, when the test of life comes, we really should sit down and say, okay, I'm already ready for this. I'm already ready. But when we begin to go through something, we allow this human side of us to come out. And when the human side comes out, the spirit man sit down, because God will never fight with you to bless you. Right. Holler if you hear me. And so as you begin to go through something, when you begin to go through it, God is saying, trust me. And you're saying to God, you really don't see what is before me. Because if you saw the trouble, the trials, the tribulations, the winds and the waves that I was going through right now, you wouldn't say, trust me. Because sometimes when you begin to go through something, it seems like God, slow down.
All right.
Holler if you hear me. When you're going through something, it seems like God, take a step back. But when the sun is shining, it seems like God, just show up. But the moment the storms start, God takes a step back, and then you situation. Holler if you've been in a storm and God walked out and appears on you. Paul was preparing for a trial. And the trial that Paul was preparing for was the trial of his life. Now, Paul was on trial, but you got to get this. Paul was on trial because he has started preaching hope.
All right, that's right.
Hope. Isn't it something when somebody can put you on trial, somebody can dislike you because in spite of what you're going through, you refuse to let go of hope. At the core of hope is faith, because the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, you're going through something, but you say you can take everything, but I still got my faith in God. And somebody puts you on trial because you still got faith in God. Mm-hmm. I wonder if somebody came today and put you on trial and the charge was that you had faith in God, I wonder, would you be found guilty? I wonder if they could convict you of being guilty of having faith. I wonder, in the midst of you going through something, do you still say, God, sometimes I can't see you. Sometimes, Lord, all of my faith is not there. But thank God, all I need is the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Lord, some of my faith is leaving, but I still got a grain left. And God can take the minority when you go something against the majority, and God and you will work out any situation that you're going through.
Amen.
Paul says, I'm on trial because I still have hope. So they took Paul before Felix, and Felix says, you know what? I don't even like you. Then they took him before Festus, and Festus says, I don't even like you either. And so he ended up in the presence, or he ended up before Agrippa. Now, if you take notice at verse number 12, you see verse number 12, I thought verse number 12 was quite interesting when I was preparing for this, because the most interesting part of verse number 12 is the meaning in it. And that's verse number 12. It says, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief apostles, apostle, the chief one of the sinner. I need for you to know that when Satan sends someone after you, he's not going to send some little weed watcher go. He's going to send his very best. He's going to send his chief after you. Remember, he comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And so Paul is saying, listen, Agrippa, if you listen to my case, I guarantee you, you'll understand where I'm coming from. And so what he said to him in essence was, one day I was traveling on the road to Damascus. And when you're traveling on your road to Damascus, before God can deal with you, the first thing he always had to do is he had to demask you, because you're not who you think you are. He has to rob you and rip everything off you, and sometimes God has to kill you in order for you really to live. And so God begins to take you away from you. You see, because sometimes what we think of ourselves really isn't who we are. It's the ego. It's the public person that we need to show. And so Paul says, or at the time Saul says, I was on the road to Damascus, and when I was on the road to Damascus, in midday the sun shined down upon us. Now, isn't it something that at high noon, which is what it is right now, imagine July heat, the heat that we've been having, and the sun is just blazing. Imagine that sun as bright as it is, but there's another sun that is brighter than even that sun. That's the Son of God. That is when you're going through the valley and you see nothing, and the Son of God shines in your situation. That is when you're going through something, and even though the bank account may be on zero, God says, I'm going to shine a little grace in your situation. I wonder, have you ever been going through something and God shines some grace up in your situation? I wonder, have you ever been going through something and God says, baby, I'm going to let it shine right here. Now, it doesn't look like much, but if you put it in my hand, I'll give you some shine. I'll make it shine and nobody can understand. understand.
Say it good.
He says, one day I was on the road to Damascus. And there will come a one day in your life. One day when your faith will be on trial. One day when you have to speak healing even though cancer is in your life. One day when you would have to speak that God is a friend even though you have no friend. One day your faith will be on trial. One day God is going to test your faith. And one day God is going to see what you really made of. And the truth of the matter is, I believe that the reason that we go through stuff is so that our trials and tribulations can say to us who we really are. I can tell you some wonderful things about me, but don't believe that stuff. Watch me when I begin to go through a storm, because that's when I lose the cuteness in the storm. Because I don't care. I can cry in front of God. That's when I'm going through something. If there's no God in my life, I can't fake that. You can fake everything in life, but you cannot fake the anointing that is in your life. And that's why I'm forever saying to people, don't you sit back and watch somebody and say, I'm going to do what somebody is doing. Don't you ever try to do that alone. Whenever you're trying to do something, you better make sure that the anointing is walking with you. If you try to go against Satan by yourself, he will destroy you. You better make sure that you have the anointing that is upon your life, and you better make sure that you know how to activate the anointing. It means nothing to have the anointing that is within your reach, but you don't know how to activate it. How do you activate the anointing? It is quite simple. The Bible declares that in my presence there's fullness of joy. All you have to do is get in the presence of God. He says, at my right hand there's pleasure forevermore. In other words, he's saying, get in my face and get in my will. Once you're in the will of God, meaning that you're in the kingdom of God, then surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. So Paul is saying, listen, I was walking down the road to Damascus. I was armed with the papers to go kill some other Christians. Because at the time, Saul didn't like Christians. He thought that all Christians was fake. Do you ever feel like that? Like everybody in the church, everybody. You know today, I remember once upon a time when people used to shout, they should fall out of nation, go and they should do us. Today, we so cute, we all shout the same. We all look the same. Because we go home and we practice how to shout. But you know when the Holy Spirit really hits you, you lose all your cuteness. When the Holy Spirit really hits you, you don't care if snot running out your nose and your shirt is out. I don't care. God, I'm just so thankful just to be in your presence. I'm just so thankful, Lord, that I know that in your presence, Lord, you're releasing the blessings of me. And so Paul says, I was traveling down the road to Damascus, and when I was traveling, I spoke to Jesus. Jesus spoke to me. Jesus said, why do you kick against the prick? And I came today to say to somebody, why are you kicking against the prick? In other words, when God created you, he had purpose in your life. And even though you don't want to obey him, God is saying, but I called you. I've sanctified you. I've set you aside. And it's useless for you to fight the will of God, because what God has in store for you, God is going to get his blessings through you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that you can't mess up your own blessings? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that when God formed you in the womb of your mother, that God says, I sanctified you. I set you aside. I had special purpose for you. If I didn't have purpose for you, I would not have allowed you to be born. How can mom and dad come together and one of the thousands, millions of sperms, how can just one connect and one bring you about? Because God had purpose for you. God says it was a seed that was going, and I'm going to allow the seed to catch so that I can get harvest. And harvest is when God gets the glory. Saul says, I'm on the road to Damascus. Jesus says, why do you kick against the prick? In other words, I got need for you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God has need for you? And not only does God have need for you, but God knows exactly where you are. And God knows exactly what you've been through. And God knows exactly what you can take. And sometimes when we can't see God, we question, God, do you know where I am? And God is saying, yes, I know exactly where you are because I placed you there. God, did you, a loving God, really place me in all this trouble? Yeah, because you were anointed for this season. I need to let you you know today that where you are right now, the trials, the tribulations, the trouble that you're going through, everything that you're going through, it had your name on it. And you say, trouble, I don't want you. But God is saying trouble needs you to be assigned to this person, because only you can work that thing out. That's why when you're going through something, people look at you and say, I don't know how they're making it. And you say, I'm not making it. It's the anointing that's upon my life. Because long time ago, what I discovered is I had to die so that Christ can live in me. So baby, please don't think that I'm doing it. It's the anointing that is upon my life. It is the anointing that breaks yoke. It is the anointing that is upon your life that allows you to keep going. And so God is saying, but I've anointed you for this time and for this season. So Paul begins to further make his case to Agrippa. And Paul says, just let me tell you my story. And remember he said around verse number 24, he says none of this stuff, or verse number 25, none of this stuff was done in a corner. He says, you know my story. Isn't it something when Satan knows your story? Isn't it something when he know, I just can't push over you, little boy. You're going to fight for what you believe in. You know how to find God on bending knees. See, some folk, you're going through stuff and Satan can push you around. But when God up to you, and God says, now you anointed, and Satan won't push you around. That's why the Bible says that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. It didn't say they won't come, didn't say they won't hit you, didn't say it wouldn't hurt. He said it won't prosper. In other words, whatever they meant for you to go through, God is saying, but I still got a hedge of protection, a shield all around you. Baby, you got to know that you're mine and I'm yours, and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you in the midst of you going through. Paul says, Agrippa, if you listen to my story, I promise you, you'll let me go free. And so Agrippa continued to listen to Paul's story. And the more he listened to Paul's story, the more Paul ended up pulling him into the story. Somebody knows your story. Somebody knows your trials and tribulations. Have you ever been going through something and your prayer was, God, please give me the grace so that my closet door don't swing open? And the first thing that happened, God swung open your closet door. And you said, God, how could you do that to me? He says, I want somebody to know your story. So when they see your glory through me, they'll understand that nobody delivered you but God. Sometimes God will open up your door just so somebody else can understand what God opened, no man can shut. I thank God that God is judging me on this earth instead of judging me on that day. So God, go ahead and pass judgment today. And go ahead and whoop me today so that on that day my name is sealed in the Lamb's book of life. Love of God, and we forget about the wrath of God. See, when a parent is in love with a child, the Bible says, spare not the rod. In other words, don't kill them, but be the real bad. See, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'm just like my child. I say one thing and he does something else. God says one thing and I do something else. I was programmed to disobey God. I was born. Everything in me takes me away from God because my nature, by nature, is a sin nature. It's because you've been baptized with the blood of the Lamb that makes you even attracted to God. Before you're baptized with the blood of the Lamb, you have no interest in God whatsoever. That's why God only hears the sinner's prayers. And so Paul says, one day I was traveling down the road. I was traveling down the road to Damascus, and God demasked me. And when God demasked me, God said, I had purpose for you. And when God called him and said, I had purpose for you, that purpose that God has for you, I need to tell you, will sometimes get you in trouble. I need to tell you that just because God has called you, equipped you, anointed you, sanctified you, and set you aside, and all that beautiful church stuff, I need for you to know that one day Satan is coming. And all of that stuff, you will find yourself, it's there, but I don't feel the presence of God. Now, but watch this now. Even though you'll find yourself going through something and you won't feel the presence of God, watch this in verse number 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Do you see that? For this purpose, to make thee a minister. I'm glad that it didn't say pastor. I'm glad that it didn't say bishop. I'm glad it didn't say high priest. I'm glad it said minister. Because in saying minister, all of us has a ministry within us. Your life is a ministry. You don't need a title. Watch this now. So what he's saying to them, he is saying, what Paul is saying to Agrippa is that God appointed me. And because God appointed him, you can't remove it. Don't worry about nobody taking your title, your position, your church stuff. No, don't you worry about that. Because what God gave me, you can't take that from me. And so he says, God says, I had a purpose. And here it is, the purpose is to make thee a minister and a witness. Nobody can see you being a witness until you first show yourself going through something. And so God will allow you to go through something so that one, your life can be a ministry, and two, you can be a witness for God. And we say, Lord, why am I going through it? And God is saying, because you came to me and you told me, have your way, Lord. Can I really use you right now in the valley? Now, if God really can use you, you need to understand that when God calls your number to use you, you need to understand that before he will release Satan up in your life, that he said, I know you're going to make it. Because if you fall short through it, then God didn't test you, he tempted you. But isn't it a wonderful thing that when Satan get ready to come in your life, he got to go to your daddy and say, Daddy, can I have use of your child? And your daddy will always say, that one right there, oh, that one right there is ready. Go ahead and use that one right there. So when you begin to go through something, you need to know, even though Satan is dealing with you, God says, I never leave you, I never forsake you. So God is right there. God is watching you go through your storm. Notice I said go through your storm. I didn't say get halfway, turn around, and go back. When God says, let us go to the other side, or you're going to go through something, you better believe, come hell or high water, I'm going to make it to the other side. I may be broke, but I'm going to make it to the other side. I may be abused, but I'm going to make it to the other side. My credit may be jacked up, but I'm going to make it to the other side. I may not have a friend in the world, but I'm going to make it to the other side. May not have a penny to my name, but I'm going to make it to the other side, because God says, let us, me and God, we're in partnership. Let us go to the other side. Stand before Agrippa, and he begins to talk to Agrippa. And as he begins to talk to Agrippa, verse number 24, watch what he says to Agrippa. As he began to preach, he first began by saying this. He says, verse number 24, and as he thus spake for himself. In other words, I'm on trial. I don't need a lawyer. He says, I know who Jesus is. I don't need a man to represent me. I know who Jesus is. What a privilege it is to go to God for yourself. Thank God I don't have to go to the high priest and the low priest and the medium priest and the priest on the right and the priest on the left. Thank God I can go for myself. Thank God I can go into the presence of God. Thank God I can cast all my cares upon him. And so what he says is this. He says, listen. He says, in essence, I'm going to represent myself. And so he begins to talk to Festus. And as he began to deal with Festus in the presence of Agrippa, Festus screams out with a loud voice. He ain't even talking to Festus, really. He's dealing with Agrippa. And Festus realized that, Paul, you insane. You're crazy. You're crazy. I wonder if somebody ever called you insane.
Yes.
I wonder if somebody ever said, you crazy. Why do you keep believing in that God, but you still going through the same thing that I'm going through? And then, why do you keep going to church? And you keep going to church. I'm sitting at home, I'm watching a football game. I'm enjoying myself. Why? Are you crazy? Are you insane? Don't you know sometimes God wants you to be just sold out for him? Just insane for him. Just sold out to the point that I just believe. I know what I'm going through, but God, I still believe that you have the power to deliver me. I know I'm in a mess right now, but I know somebody can reach down, touch my little mess, and somehow they can turn my whole situation around. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you really find yourself sold out and insane? So Festus says, Paul, you must be insane. All that education, all that knowledge that messed you up. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Notice what he says. He says, much learning does make thee mad. All that learning, all that Bible study stuff. You crazy. All that Bible study stuff. That stuff that messed up your brain. You really believe you can walk on water? Yeah, baby. I may not be able to walk on some water in terms of liquid, but let me tell you what I'm going through. Let me tell you about my health situation. Let me tell you about everybody walking out. I'm walking on that water. You really believe that Jesus can raise somebody from the dead? Yeah, baby. Let me tell you what my checkbook used to look like before Jesus raised that thing from the dead. Do you really believe that God has the power to heal? Yeah, let me tell you where I used to be, but let me tell you what God has done for me. He's healed my body. Has God ever healed your body from something? Has God ever delivered you, not even from a sickness, from an infirmity? Has God ever delivered you from worry? Has God ever delivered you from believing that you don't need what you used to need? You remember once upon a time you need a drink to go and talk to somebody, a cigarette to calm your nerve, a lover so you can sleep all night. Isn't it a wonderful thing when God delivers you and the things that you thought you used to need, you discover that you really don't need those things, and all I really need is you, Lord. So God, if you'll pour out the Spirit of God, give me a fresh anointing in the midst of going through something. Give me a fresh anointing in the midst of my trouble. Give me a fresh anointing in the midst of folk hating on me. Give me a fresh anointing in the midst of my troubles.
Yes.
And so he says, Paul, you must be insane. Verse number 25. Then Paul says, but he says, Paul is speaking. Paul says, I am not mad. Now notice he says insane, and Paul says, I ain't crazy. Paul word was mad, like a madman. He says, I'm not a madman, I'm not insane. Most noble Festus. In other words, you think you smart, so I'll give you the respect of your title, but you the one that's crazy.
All right.
You crazy for thinking that my God is not going to deliver me. You crazy when I begin to go through something and the world begin to laugh at you like they think you stuck and somehow God pulls you through anyway. No, baby, the joke ain't on me. The joke is on you for believing that my God couldn't do it. The joke is on you for believing that there was something that was impossible with the God that I serve. Don't you know there's nothing impossible with God? All things are possible if I just believe, if I get it in my heart, if I can see it in the spirit, man, I can make it happen, because when I see it in the spirit, man, I begin to walk by faith and not by sight. If I can see it in the spirit, man, I know that God then begins to order myself. If I can see it in the spirit, man, I can put that thing inside of me. And the Bible declares, so as a man thinketh, so is he. It may not be here now, but if I begin to think that thing, God will birth that thing in my life. I wonder, have you ever been down and out and your mind has been stayed on God, and God gave you birth to something that you thought was dead? I wonder, have you ever been going through something and it was 4:59 in the evening and the bill was almost passed out? So God began to deal with Festus, and Paul says, Festus, I'm not mad, but I speak for the word of what?
Truth.
The whole world may fail, but the word of God should never fail. It is the truth, for Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything else can go haywire. Else can go south. Is one thing that you can stand on, that is the word of God. Now listen, in the midst of this bad economy, in the midst of all this craziness you see on television and the news, all that stuff really shouldn't much concern you, because listen, it's not going to get better. And I know sometimes we pray, Lord, I pray that you'll make this world a better. No, baby, you can quit that prayer. It ain't gonna get no better. He said it's not gonna get any better. My prayer is that when the rapture comes, I'm lifted. Because you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto thee. Lord, in the midst of everybody else going through, I will not lose my job. And if that job is taken from me, I will sit at my house, I will sit on the front porch, I will sit in the rocking chair, and you will take and you will still pay my bills.
Yeah.
Because by the way, God, that little check wasn't paying the bills anyway. It was through faith that it was working out. It was through your anointing.
Yes, it is.
So I'm not worried about that. So he says, now I'm going to speak forth the word of truth and soberness. In other words, I got my right mind.
Mm-hmm.
You may think I'm drunk, but if I'm drunk, I'm drunk in the Holy Spirit. I wonder, have you ever been in a worship service and you couldn't stand, you couldn't speak, you couldn't even get nothing going in your way? And the reason was because sometimes the Holy Spirit will take you and the Holy Spirit will make you act as though a drunk person. That's why in the book of Acts in chapter number 2, in the day of Pentecost, they thought these folks were drunk because they were speaking in tongues. No, I wasn't speaking in tongues. I had something to tell my daddy and I didn't want you to understand it. Thank God he'll dispatch the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will say, I know what that means. That means I need this over here. And the Holy Spirit will pick this up and say, I know exactly what that means. Verse number 26. Listen. For the king knoweth these things. You see that? So Agrippa says, Festus, I hear you. You sounding crazy. But what I'm saying, the king already know these things. In closing, let me say this. Look at the next verse. Paul says to Festus, now King Agrippa know what I'm talking about. Now the proof that he knows what I'm talking about is this. But let me back up a little bit and say this. Notice what Paul began to do, and Paul put his case before Agrippa. And Paul wrote his case, walked through his case step by step. Because what Paul was trying to show him is that you know where I am now, and I'm on trial because of hope that I have in Jesus Christ. But you know I used to be a bad boy. You know these things about me. And so Paul began to tell him what God did in his life. The reason that God will allow someone to see what you're going through is because God wants somebody to know how bad you used to be, but now he's working with you. And so here it is, Paul says, now I'm going to tell you my story, or I'm going to tell you my testimony. When Paul finished his testimony to Agrippa, Agrippa says, Paul, you almost persuaded me. You almost persuaded me. Now, what I was thinking was almost was right now. But in essence, what he's saying in the translation didn't really go well. But what the translation should have been is not so quick. That doesn't mean that you won't someday lead me to Christ, but it won't happen today. There's some folk that is watching your life and you've been preaching to them and you've been ministering to them, and it's not like they don't hear you. It's just not today. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Somebody see what God is doing in your life. Thank you so much for coming. I pray that you've been blessed today. Have you been blessed today?